Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about something that is quite prominent in the news at the moment, and that is the case of a 25-year-old girl from Spain by the name of Noela Castillo, who has been fighting for years to be killed under Spain's euthanasia law. And has argued that as a paraplegic and as a person who is disabled, her life is unbearable. She can't take it anymore and she wants to die. And there has been a campaign going on for years. Both her father has been involved and also a group called Christian Lawyers to stop her from being able to kill herself, from arguing that she is not in the correct mental state to take her own life. And that campaign failed. In the week of the last week of March 2026, and she has now been put to death. And there's been a lot of interesting background discussion on this case, and it's even been argued in various circles, and I don't know where they get their evidence from, that she was, what word shall I use here on YouTube, raped by refugees, asylum seekers, Middle Eastern men, whatever. And that it was in escaping from those people that she threw herself off a building and crippled herself, and therefore her life became so unbearable that she wanted to die, and she has killed herself or had herself killed. And I'm sorry to say, this is an example of a lot of people being had. This is an example of a lot of people being taken in, a lot of people being taken in by a girl who has a serious personality disorder, that is to say, borderline personality disorder, and who therefore is prone to lie, therefore is prone to have sexual fantasies, including rape fantasies and assault fantasies, and also who is prone to suicidality. Those unfortunate people among conservatives who have taken this woman seriously have been taken in, and that is what I want to look at today. And I want to look at how we can avoid that happening in the future. Before I do that, could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a like? Could you hit the bell? Could you leave a comment? Could you spread the video far and wide? And could you also subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff I don't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, what apparently has happened? What this girl says, then, this Noela Castillo, is that she was brought up from the background information we have. She was brought up by relatively unstable parents, it seems, and those parents lost all their money when Castillo was about 13 years old and she was put in social care. And she remained in social care, brought up apparently by people other than her parents, until she was an adult when she removed herself. So she was in social care, certainly from about 2015 to about 2019. At the age of 13, it is clear that she was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And I will look in a minute at what that is, because it's highly, highly significant to this. She then claims that she was raped first by a boyfriend, then in a nightclub by two people, and ultimately in 2022 by three young men. It appears to have been speculated online, and again, I do not know what the sources are, that these men were migrants. And this incident has then been weaponized by certain right-wing commentators to imply that, well, look at what has happened. This poor girl, she has been sacrificed on the altar of multiculturalism. She has lost her life because of multiculturalism. This is all the fault of multiculturalism. But I can find no evidence anywhere that these people were migrants, or even that they existed. Anyway, apparently, in the wake of this gang rape, she threw herself off a building and managed to obviously very, very seriously injure herself, to render herself paraplegic and thus confined for the rest of her life, for a wheelchair. She then decided that she wanted to die, that her life was not worth living. And then we have the whole series of information at the moment that's going on. We have her death, her various very, very interesting comments. And I've put some of those comments in the thumbnail for you, one of those comments anyway, in the thumbnail so that you can see it. It is hardly likely that a person in that situation who was remotely stable would make comments of that kind. Now, some reports don't give the full detail as to her background. They just say she has psychiatric problems. Other reports give the full details to her background. And one of them that I recommend, if you want to have a look, is the Herald Sun. I think it might be an Australian newspaper. I'm not sure. It goes into a great deal of detail with regard to her background. Now, ultimately, when she died on her final night in hospital, her family came to be by her side and to talk to her. Her father waged a lengthy campaign to try and block what was happening, and she insisted, no, she wants to leave the world in peace. But interestingly, she also insisted that she not die with her family by her side. She sent them out of the room to die on her own when she died. Now look at some of the comments that she's made. None of my family support me, but the happiness of a father does not have to be above that of a daughter or above a daughter's life. I just want to go in peace and stop suffering. And then she also added, I've always thought I want to die beautiful. I'll put on my prettiest dress and makeup. Isn't that a strange remark? Her mother said, I'm not in favour of euthanasia, of course, but I will always be by her side until the very last moment, as long as she allows me. I've been praying and thinking, hoping that at the last moment she'll say, I regret it. The distraught mum, one last plea, she said, perhaps with significant help, she could begin to rebuild her life little by little. But no, this Castilian woman is not having it. No, she insists on dying. But one of the more interesting things we discover about her is that she suffers from borderline personality disorder. Now, what is borderline personality disorder? Well, according to the DSM, it's a cluster B disorder. So it goes alongside things like depression and anxiety and psychopathy and other dark triads, Machiavellianism and narcissism. And it's characterized by highly unstable and extreme moods and poor emotional regulation, a fundamental fear of abandonment and of being alone, impulsivity, including sexual risk-taking, substance abuse, or binge shopping, identity disturbance leading to leading to unstable goals or sense of who you are due to shame, self-loathing, and self-doubt, chronic feelings of emptiness, a pattern of intense unstable relationships in which they cycle through idealizing and de-idealizing their partner, extreme anger, self-harm and threats of self-harm, and transient dissociation and psychosis, especially under stress. That is borderline personality disorder. There's lots of debate over this, but in general, the view seems to be that about 75% of those diagnosed are women, and it is particularly pronounced among young women. There is some evidence that it gets better with age. The age of about the early 20s is peak for the severity of the symptoms if women are going to have this. In many, many cases, often maybe 80% of cases, it is comorbid with something else. And in particular, it is comorbid with narcissism. Narcissism is the idea that you feel lots and lots of negative feelings, you feel very bad about yourself, so you deal with this by creating a narcissistic false self in which you are wonderful and you are perfect. And then you try to gain narcissistic supply from people to reassure you that that is the case, and you are grandiose and you're entitled and you think you're wonderful. There are two kinds of narcissism. There is grandiose narcissism, which is more common among men, and there is covert narcissism, which is more common among women and is more likely to be comorbid with borderline personality disorder. In this system, you are the world's biggest victim, the world's most tragic person, the world's greatest victim, the greatest victim you can possibly imagine. And therefore, because you are the world's biggest victim, there's something uniquely wonderful about you. There's something perfect about you. There's something pure about you because you have managed to cope with all of these terrible things that have happened to you and you have managed to survive. And therefore, it elicits care from men. It makes the man into the knight in shining armor who wants to rescue you. And that's your system. That's how you obtain resources. That's how you obtain power, via signaling that you are the world's biggest victim. Whereas in reality, you have many, many narcissistic traits. So these are the two related disorders. Now, if you look at the research into what goes together with these kinds of disorders, what do they predict? One of the things that they will predict that they have predicted is basically sexual fantasies, fantasies of rape and of general physical abuse. Now, why do they have those fantasies? Well, it's likely that these kinds of women are fast life history strategists. They are evolved to an environment in which we're all on a spectrum from fast to slow, from an unstable, easy ecology in which you live fast and die young, to a stable, difficult ecology in which you live slow and die old. Now, in a fast life history ecology in which you live fast and die young, you could be killed at any moment, then in the only kind of person you want to pass on your genes with is the absolute top male, the top dog, the strong, violent, aggressive person, because that's the person whose genes will be passed on in that ecology. Now, in that context, how can you possibly know that that male is the best male? Well, the answer is that he can dominate you. He can dominate you, so therefore, surely he's quite dominant. And so therefore, it follows that they have fantasies of dominance. They are aroused by the idea of being dominated, especially by other men. So from there, you get an interest in BDSM. You get an interest in fantasies of being sexually dominated. And also, an element of that fantasy is narcissistic. It's the idea that I am so attractive that these men can't keep their hands off me, that I am so attractive they can't control themselves in my presence. So it's both a narcissistic fantasy and it's a fantasy that makes sense in these broader evolutionary terms. Now, what you find is that women that are diagnosed with borderline personality disorder are 100% more likely than controls to be into BDSM. And then if you look at the research on those that have been interviewed about this, on why it is that they are into BDSM, they say, well, I feel in control. They are being, you know, hit or whatever it happens to be, or abused in other ways. But they are in control of it happening because they are the ones in charge. It's not like this is happening to them and they don't want it to happen to them. This is happening to them and they want it to happen to them. And in a sense, therefore, they are in control of it and they feel in control. And that feels good. That feels good. So first of all, then, they are likely to have these fantasies, and they are fantasies of sexual dominance, of abuse, of that sort of thing. Now, secondly, what does signaling these fantasies do? What does telling people about these fantasies do? Well, it immediately, remember, these people fear abandonment. They intensely fear abandonment. What they are looking for is their teddy bear man. Is their ideal man who will look after them always and will never, ever abandon them and will always be there for them. They're looking for this high status man who will always be there and who won't abandon them. So they need to cause that man to bond with them. They need to do things to make him bond with them so that he won't leave them, so that he won't abandon them. Well, how can you turbocharge the bonding process? Well, one of the things you can do is you can say, you can talk about how you were abused by a man or whatever, these kinds of BDSM fantasies. Immediately, this gets the attention of the man. Immediately, he's interested. He's maybe even slightly aroused by it. Immediately, he's interested. He's got bullied there. And she's saying, I've chosen you. I'm sharing this deeply, deeply personal thing with you, because I care about you and you're as special as I am. We're similarly special, we are. And so, of course, this helps to bond with the man. This helps to make the man attached to the woman. And so she shares this deeply personal and also slightly arousing information with the man. And it also makes the man into her knight in armor. into her rescuer. And the man feels that. It appeals to his narcissism, if he's a certain kind of man that's going to get involved with these women. It appeals to his sense of he's the knight in armor. He's unique. He's special. He's able to rescue her. He alone will rescue her. He alone is special enough that she has imparted this information, this special, shameful, poignant information to him. And so then this incredibly strong bond is made, and then he will want to do things for her, and he will want to help her, and all of this sort of thing. And then her feelings of emptiness and her feelings of fear of abandonment are alleviated. And perhaps he is a similar kind of man, because remember, people are attracted to genetic similarity. And so perhaps indeed he is a fast life history strategy man. He is perhaps rather narcissistic himself. And so therefore, she is appealing to his narcissism. And therefore, again, the bond is turbocharged. So that's what happens with borderline personality disorder. But remember, so take that into account. And the research on the degree to which they lie has found that they do tell lies. They tell lies in order to strongly bond with people. And to some, there's a limited degree to which it actually crosses over in women with being a fantasist, i.e. with just making lots and lots and lots of things up, pathological lying. Because you can see how that is just an extension of what they do anyway, which is lie or kind of lie in order to bond themselves with men. Now, it may be that sometimes there is some vague truth in what they're saying. From what she's saying, her background is unstable. That's for sure. Her background is unstable, and it seems that she was brought up at least partially in care. So now that makes sense, because there is a genetic component to this of about 50%. Personality disorders are in the range of 50% genetic. And the evidence is that the parents will share, of a girl with borderline personality disorder, will share some components of the disorder. So the father might have some aspects of narcissism or psychopathy, and the mother might have some aspects of borderline personality disorder, some of the traits, not all of the traits, but some of the traits. And this comes together to mean that she's got the genetics for this to happen. And she is brought up in the kind of unstable environment which will bring it about at the environmental level. And that is an environment in which care is unpredictable, in which you have mentally unstable parents that you can't rely on them to be loving to you at certain points and unloving to you if you misbehave, for example, at other points. It's just random and capricious based on their moods. So and this tells you that love is unstable. You have to look out for yourself, that the world is unstable, that the world is frightening, and therefore you need to manipulate people in order to get love from them, and in order not to be abandoned by them. That's what it teaches you as a very young child. And so therefore you learn these manipulative techniques as an adult, and they become part of the general borderline personality disorder. So you can see why that's the case. And then another significant, we've looked at a number of the symptoms. Another symptom, of course, is impulsivity and risk-taking. Now, there is no independent evidence whatsoever that this woman was sexually assaulted on the three occasions that she claims she was. None. It was not reported to the police at the time. And naturally, that should make you rather sceptical. So in terms of the risk-taking, well, you see the risk-taking. One example of the risk-taking is if she's even partly telling the truth, hanging around with young boys or whatever when she's a young girl, right? You can see that, probably getting herself into sexual situations with them, which is unwise, but also the suicide attempt. It's impulsive, just throwing herself off a building and thus causing herself to be crippled. And most importantly of all in borderline personality disorder, about 10% of them commit suicide. 50% of them try to commit suicide, engage in a suicide attempt. And the vast majority of them engage in sort of semi-suicidal behavior. The most obvious example of it is cutting. If you see a girl who has, or burning, or self-bruising even, but mainly cutting. If you see a girl that has cuts on her arm, let's say it would normally be if she's right-handed, her left arm, this is a really, really consistent marker of borderline personality disorder. Why do they engage in cutting? Well, they claim that it makes the world seem real. For them, the world seems this numb, unpleasant, depressing place, and it makes them seem real in the moment. It makes something seem real. They also claim it gives them a sense of control. So the world for a anxious person like that is this swirling chaos where anything could go wrong at any time, where you could be abandoned at any time, where the world could collapse at any time. And this gives you gives you an ability, a sense of self-control. It can also be seen as almost like a sexual indicator. And what you're saying, if you do that, is that you are mentally unstable. And therefore, you're saying that you are a fast life history strategist. And therefore, you will be attractive to a certain kind of man, because you are basically saying that you are sociosexual by doing that. You are saying to a suitor that this is what I'm like. And therefore, you will be attractive to other mentally unstable people in an ecology in which you want to pass on your genes. And you can elevate doing so by being with people that are genetically similar to you. So it's a way of cutting the crap and saying, look, I'm a fast life history strategist. Are you? Are you the same? In that regard, let's look at Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes, the poets. When she first met him, she was obsessed with him. That's another, by the way, dimension of borderline personality disorder. They become utterly obsessed with a particular high status man. Their world is unstable and frightening and chaos, and they want a rescuer, and they will latch on to a particular high status man as their rescuer, and they will then idealize that man as absolutely perfect and wonderful, and they will almost outsource their emotional regulation to that man. He will regulate, his existence regulates their emotions, and he will become central to their sense of self. Their sense of self almost becomes enmeshed. It merges with that person. I am important and I matter because this man is important and he matters. And this man likes me. This man is my boyfriend. And therefore, I feel better about myself because I am attached to this high status man. So with Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes, he already had a reputation as an undergraduate at Cambridge as a brilliant poet and all of this sort of thing. And so she just walks over to him and just bites him on the face. Now, what a lot of men would think is, my God, that woman's insane. I must avoid her. But Hughes, being a fast life history strategist, thought, wow, that turns me on. Who is this girl that has bitten me on the face? Who is she? And he ends up marrying Sylvia Plath. She's very, very concerned about being abandoned and all this kind of thing. She's already attempted suicide before she even gets to Cambridge. And eventually, of course, at the age of 30, despite being a mother of two children, she killed herself and was found with her head in the oven. So you can see that there's that element then to self-harm. And the final element, as someone in the comments has mentioned, is just a way of getting attention. What they want is, as vulnerable narcissists really, is for people to look after them, people to care for them, for them to be in control of a group of people who will worship, in a sense, worship and look after them. And self-harm, a symbolic suicide attempt, is one way of doing this. Now, this thing with the cutting, this was unknown until the 1980s. Before if you look at newspapers in the 1980s, it has to be explained to people what it is. Before then, they would engage in basically overdoses, but pathetic overdoses that they were bound to survive. And that was the way of signaling. But in some cases, they take it further. So what I would think has happened with this Noella girl is that she's lying. She's got these sexual fantasies about being abused and whatever. And we've explained why these develop. So she engages in those to get attention and to get sympathy and to bond with other people and to make them look after her and that kind of thing. And then you have the impulsivity of BPD, which is that they'll just suddenly randomly do things that don't make any sense at all overtly, just impulsive behaviors. You've got that mixed together with the suicidal element of it, i.e. her jumping off a building and thus crippling herself. And so that's what you see with her. This is explicable because there is no independent evidence that any of these things happened to her at all. And she no reports to the police, nothing. So what's likely is that she's concocted it. And so then you get that. And then finally, this whole I'm going to kill myself thing seems to be one massive example of borderline personality disorder. a way of controlling and manipulating and having power over her parents, a way of for and other people, a way of forcing a huge outpouring of sympathy for her, a way of being the center of attention, and a way of basically almost being worshipped, such that it reassures her that she her remember the feelings of emptiness, the feelings of desolation, the feelings of fear of rejection. It reassures her that people love her and think she's wonderful, and appeals to that narcissistic side of her. And then look at the language she uses about I want to look pretty. This is a kind of a maladaptive borderline personality narcissism. I want to look pretty. I wear my best dress. I mean, that those lines speak so much about her. This is attention seeking, and this is ensuring, and this is a kind of a narcissism, a covert narcissism, taken to the very extreme degree, and she takes it full on to the degree of death. And there are studies on people that are martyrs, that are known martyrs, and it's argued that it's basically a kind of maladaptive narcissism, where in that moment when you actually die, and people are saying, "Oh, you're so wonderful, you've died for your faith," well, think how grandiosely amazing you must feel. And so it's maladaptive narcissism, but you can see how, as a byproduct of something that is useful, because you could argue that narcissism in an unstable ecology is useful. People will sexually select for the narcissistic, highly dominant kind of person. So you can see how it's useful, and it's just that taken off in a maladaptive direction. And it's very sad. It's very worrying in a way, that so many people, including people I respect, I know and respect personally, have been taken in by this. And I must confess that I was taken in by this until I read in this newspaper, the Herald Sun or whatever it's called, that she had borderline personality disorder. And she wanted good ghost clothes, says Tiger Lily 8712. Yes, that's a very interesting point. Yeah, she liked the idea. It's almost like something out of a gothic novel, of her lying there as a beautiful ghost, like the Lady of Shalott. And she dies, and Lancelot, "Oh, she has a lovely face," he says. "She has a lovely face." And it's like that. So I was taken in. I believed it. I believed it completely until and indeed even the rumours about it, for which there's no issue, there's no evidence, until I read that she had borderline personality disorder. And the second I read that, I immediately, well, hang on a minute, then this is therefore too good to be true, isn't it? This is just too good to be true. This is the perfect case of a person with borderline personality disorder. So, we need to be very, very careful, those of us that are on the more conservative wing of politics, as it were. We need to be very, very careful with regard to these cases that seem to perfectly illustrate what we want them to illustrate. People with borderline personality disorder are very high in emotional empathy. They kind of understand, they can read the room really well. They can understand how, which is why, by the way, they will know what you think before you even consciously think it. And if they can read from you that you might reject them, then you'll get this huge reaction, this huge anger, this huge fury, this overwhelming reaction, and you, because they'll be convinced you're going to reject them, despite the fact that you haven't even consciously thought that yet, but you've unconsciously thought it, and they've read it, and then they've reacted accordingly, and they become a fear of abandonment, and then they see you as evil, and they de-idealize you because they see the world as black and white, and therefore you're a threat, and you're de-idealized, and then you're evil, and da, 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 da. And then they fear a bit, and then the cycle just continues again. So, we should be. This is a case not of a woman who has been assaulted and whatever. These things almost certainly never happened. This is a case of a person with the background that would make her have borderline personality disorder, who has therefore developed borderline personality disorder, who has therefore concocted this sexual fantasy, who has therefore impulsively made a very serious suicide attempt, who has therefore left paraplegic and therefore in a strong need for attention and validation and all this kind of thing, has engaged in this campaign to have another suicide attempt and has therefore got what she wanted. It is a girl with borderline personality disorder. They are very, very manipulative. And a lot of people, I'm afraid, in the media and in the conservative circles have been manipulated. So we shouldn't let that happen again. Well, I hope you've enjoyed my first sort of little weekend live chat. And I'm on here now. I may as well ask. There's about 800 of you watching. Are there any questions? If you have any questions, please ask them now, or I will look into wrapping up. So are there any questions at all? Please write them now, and I will sit here and wait for a bit. Otherwise, I'm wrapping up. Someone's saying it's the left-wing government's fault that migrants attacked her. Migrants didn't attack her. That's the whole point. There's no evidence whatsoever that migrants attacked her. There's no evidence that anyone attacked her, and there's certainly no evidence that migrants attacked her. Who's the guy in the photo behind me? That is the Finnish former president Svinhufvud. I saw the photograph in shop, and I thought that's quite nice. Are you going to talk to Richard? What about this? I don't know. I may do. We plan to do various things on BPD in the future, but I don't know if we're specifically going to talk about this. How do we protect ourselves from these women? Says Joe Brown. Well, you have to know what the symptoms are. One, know what the symptoms are. There's the 9 symptoms I've read out. If you scroll back, if you have 5 out of those 9 symptoms, then you are diagnosable. So understand that you are not unique. You are not unique, and your situation is not unique. You are of a particular psychological type. There may be lots of other people with your psychological type. You are not unique. There is never a unicorn. There is never some situation that breaks situation is unique. And if you think you are in a unique situation, then probably almost inherently you are involved with a borderline, because that's what they'll do. They'll try and paint this idea that this is this unique, special thing, and there's never been anything like this, and there's never been anything like us, and whatever. So understand that. So it requires a certain humility, and then simply know the symptoms. Is it like the rock stars who idolized Live Fast, Die Young and the 27 Club? Yes, a bit like that. Yeah. You're gonna get highly narcissistic men because that's what predicts going into those kinds of industries. Particularly, by the way, if you're a woman going into those kinds of industries, more so than a man, because you're more of an outlier if you're a woman in an industry like that. And then you're going to get women that are of similar, highly narcissistic kind, that worship them and adore them and all that kind of thing. So yes, that's correct. What should we do with these people as a society? Difficult. So basically, I think that they need to be, so Sinclarity UK, I think they need to be managed. There's a lot of women that are significant, i.e. in the arts or whatever, that are important, that have a contribution to make, are of this psychological kind. And I suspect part of why the traits have stayed in the population is because it is good for society to have a small percentage of basically subclinically psychopathic people, because that's what makes people geniuses. That's what makes people original. That's what makes people do interesting things. And it's the same with the women. So I think that they need to be managed. That's the point. How does feminism play into it? Asthma victims or tolerance of disorders. I think that feminism plays into it. Yeah, with regard to the tolerance, it means that we are more likely. It means that women are more likely to get into positions of influence, and those women, the women that get into positions of influence, are more likely to have BPD and psychopathy and dark triad traits. So you're just going to get more women like this in positions of influence in a way that you wouldn't previously have done. And secondly, they're more likely to be listened to and taken seriously than was the case because of the general, Me Too kind of phenomenon. They're more likely to be listened to and taken seriously. So with this woman, for example, it seems to me fairly obvious that she's a fantasist and has, but no one's questioning it. Or with Virginia Roberts Giuffre, it seems to me fairly obvious that if you read her memoir, so much of what she said, she's a known fantasist and a known liar, and she committed suicide. But yet people still take her seriously. I'm not saying that there was no relationship with Prince Andrew. There may have been. There's quite good circumstantial evidence that there was. But it's difficult to believe anything she says because so much more of what she says is just nonsense. Tiger Lily 87, the need to be called out and their emotional extortion exposed. That's not a question. But so if there are any further questions, otherwise I will wrap up and wish you a happy Palm Sunday, isn't it? Wish you a happy Palm Sunday. How long has Spain been doing state-sponsored suicide? I don't feel like I've heard. Yeah, I believe it's relatively recent. It is relatively recent, yes. Any connection with liberalism? well, yeah, liberalism is going to, at least in the form that we have it, is going to make a situation where women are more likely to be listened to and not questioned and whatever, and are more likely to have positions of power. I will be unfollowing your channel now that you just threw her under the bus. Okay, fine. And what? So you believe her? You believe her, do you? Did you not listen to a word I just said? If you want to unfollow my channel because your feelings have been hurt, that's entirely up to you, but that's not a logical thing to do, is it? Did you even read her story, says Ganza? Of course I read her story, absolutely. I've just recounted her story. So this is another thing that you get. You get often women that have borderline personality disorder defending other women that have borderline personality disorder and basically arguing that you must take them seriously. You should always take them seriously. It's very sad. How do come you never hear of men with BPD? It's always women, because it expresses in women. It's about you get men that have secondary psychopathy, which actually is very similar in a lot of ways. So about an insecure psychopath, you get that in men. That's much more common in men. How do we deal with the made up stories muddying the waters for actual things? Yes, it's a very serious problem. It's terrible because it means that you're likely to disbelieve because of this people that are telling the truth. But those people that are telling you probably won't have those BPD traits, or they're less likely to have those BPD traits. I can't. Would there have been any appeal to her personality to change her mind? I believe they have tried to argue that she has psychiatric problems and therefore this she shouldn't be taken seriously. And it obviously didn't work. What do you do about the white knight problem? I don't know what that is. You mean this is the problem of male narcissism? You mean the idea that the man will come in and rescue? Yeah. Well, I think these things are intractable. I don't know what you can do about them. Is it fixed or is it exacerbated by social factors? Well, presumably under half Darwinian conditions, they are selected out. Under weakened Darwinian conditions, they come back in. Under very, very weak Darwinian conditions in which you open up liberalism, whatever, they're even more pronounced. But then on the other hand, presumably under sort of absolute monarchies or whatever, where you have the one king that all the women want to be involved with, they could be quite influential in a soft way then. What would be the ideal state solution? I don't think there's anything you can do about it, but I think that the important thing is to know what the signs are so that you can act accordingly. And a lot of people don't know the signs. And so when they're first, particularly if they're young chaps, you know, when they're first confronted with women like this, they will be taken in and they will be taken on a little on an emotional roller coaster and perhaps even sort of damaged. So this is hard to say. How can anyone be mad at Ed for giving his take on BPD cases? It's not like this case can't happen, even if it turned out not to. Yeah, it may not, but I'm not saying I'm 100% sure. But I am 100% sure because she's been diagnosed with BPD and she's publicly stated she's been diagnosed with BPD. And everything else sort of stems from there. It's possible she's telling the truth about what happened to her. It's possible. And indeed, a woman who has BPD is probably more likely to put herself in situations where she may be assaulted. This is the terrible thing. But the nature of them is such, they're more likely to concoct such things. And remember, there is absolutely no independent evidence for what she's saying. It's not like she went to the police at the time or anything like that. It's just something that suddenly, this happened to me when I was young. And I didn't tell. And it happened to me on three occasions. And on two occasions with more than one man, and I just didn't say anything, and you just believe me. So I don't know. I think it's likely that... is the part about the hospital selling her organs true? Did the journalist add that? I don't know. Again, with this case, I've come to the point where I just don't know anything. I can't know if anything is true, and that's unfortunately the nature of these cases. All right, well, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. And tally-ho. And please subscribe. Follow. Please hit the bell. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. Spread the video on Twitter. Subscribe on my Substack, jollyheretic.com. Support me on there if you're very, very nice. And I will see you all soon. And tally-ho. And goodbye.